the Servant Leadership Institute podcast. Our conversation today is with Benny Bahoyo, IT manager for Datron World Communications. This is Benny's story of his journey into servant leadership and the realization that servant leadership can represent a whole approach to life, making it how you lead and influence at work, at home, and in the community. Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Servant Leadership Institute podcast. In the studio with me today, I have a dear friend and colleague, Benny Bahoyo. Benny is manager of information technology for Datron World Communications. And I had the great pleasure of working with Benny in implementing servant leadership at Datron. So Benny, good afternoon.
Hello, everyone.
It's great to have you here. And just to get us started, would you spend a few minutes and tell us about your role at Datron?
Sure, I'd love to do that. I've been with the company for 15 plus years now, and I'm the IT manager here, being able to help others by making sure that our business systems and computers are working, and it's a pleasure to not only serve in that manner, but also in grow with the rest of my colleagues in the servant leadership journey.
Well, that's great, but I know that you have a very difficult job because who are you going to call when the computers don't work correctly, or you need your cell phone set up, or you need to set up communication for an entire all-employee meeting, and everything needs to work?
Absolutely. You're correct about that. No one really calls us when things are running great. No one calls us when the network is optimal, pace for everyone. But
right.
It is part of the journey where you have to learn that those are opportunities to be able to show what you are actually learning and demonstrate servant leadership characteristics.
Right. And I know that in your particular position, you know, Datron is not an incredibly large company. It is a small company. Mm-hmm. And so your role really encompasses both a hands-on element and a strategic element. Can you talk a little bit about that, how you deal with that strategic and then the practical day-to-day?
Absolutely. You know, I consider myself a working manager, as Carol alluded to. We are a small team, but we have a far reach. And so we can be called upon to fix something that is mundane as a broken mouse or something at someone's desktop, or it could be a system level problem that we would have to face and which impacts the whole company. And we have to prioritize how we address those type of issues. And
yeah.
So, you really have to re-engage yourself. It's a stop and start day most of the time. You might be in a strategic mode and all of a sudden you have to be called upon at a meeting, which is already running and may not be even your meeting.
Yeah.
And you have to drop everything
right.
And provide that service.
Right. It is a very, very unique role. Well, another part of your unique role was when we actually implemented servant leadership at Datron. And can you share with us, you know, when Art Barter first presented this concept mm-hmm. to us, what went through your head? What were your first thoughts that you had about it?
You know, the what made it easy for me to transition is just my upbringing. Having been raised around people who had servitude in their blood and in their genes, and they show it from a day-to-day perspective, it wasn't something that I was resistant upon. It was actually something I gravitated towards.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to know Art and where he was at was just a bonus to be able to embrace that and, you know, learn from that process.
Yeah. I used to say, and I still do from time to time, say to people when I'm describing this that, you know, servant leadership allowed me to be the same person
mm-hmm.
7/24.
Absolutely.
I didn't have to come to the office and be somebody that I wasn't.
Correct. Yep. Absolutely. And I concur with that. I think it's one of those things. I look at the blessing of being involved in this journey is the fact that I can be myself.
Mm-hmm.
What I do at home and the traits that I've learned from childhood, I carry that on into my professional life as well.
Yeah. What kind of questions did it bring to your mind, though? Because I'm sure you had a lot of them as far as how this was actually going to work.
When Art first brought the idea forward, the questions that came into my head was really more, how am I going to do this? How am I going to be able to get my team to accept this? What if they do? Mm. What if they don't accept it?
Yeah.
And what does it look like when we get there? That was my initial instinct, actually, just to find some end of the race line to cross.
So. You wanted to set up that goal line for yourself.
Correct.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, I think you'll agree with me on this. It's not that easy because it's such an never-ending kind of mm-hmm. process,
mm-hmm.
you know. So what kind of things did you do sort of day-to-day to bring about that change, not only in your leadership, but mm-hmm. in the way your people thought?
Mm-hmm. To me, I think I learned this. There's a lesson that many speakers that we've been exposed to would talk about intentionality. Be intentional in making that change and being a better person. Bring your best, but also look for those opportunities where you can push that boundary to be better than you were the day before. And we were presented with the 9 behaviors and at the beginning, and I think a lot of those all sounded really well.
Mm-hmm.
Serve first, build trust, live your values, listen to understand, think about what you're thinking, add value to others, demonstrate courage, increase your influence, and live your transformation. All of those were good, and they all, I think, intertwine with each other. But for me, I started off with serve first, not only because it was first on the list, but I thought it was instinctually very easy to do.
Yes.
Having had my mother serve for 25 years as a missionary doctor in Africa, I thought this was a piece of cake. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I soon learned it's not so easy. there are elements of it that if you really delve deeper into it, challenges what you think, and as human beings, we have the innate desire to help the needy, and my life, my personal life, my family and I have served at a church and soup kitchens and the homeless shelters, and all those experiences are very uplifting.
Yeah.
But ironically, there are situations that giving your time to those who are in better position, if you will, is more challenging. At Datron, I work at 2 different offices, and sometimes I drive by this young man who is standing out there. He appears able-bodied, and he spends his day panhandling.
Mm-hmm.
And admittedly, I pass judgment in my heart. I close the opportunity to help him out, and let alone having even the desire to hear his story. So
mm-hmm.
I liken that to those that I interact with in my working professional role. I think that we do guard those, the trust element that we have in serving others at work. With some relationships, it's so easy to,
yes.
that you've built that relationship. It's easy to serve them, and you, even to the point that you anticipate their needs, and you do it ahead of time. You don't need to, form some sort of trust graph in your back of your head. You just do it because
yeah.
it becomes natural. So.
Yeah, I know, and this is something interesting. It's interesting because Art has talked about this a lot lately, about, serving. We're not just asked to serve the people we agree with
Mm-hmm.
or the people that are just like us,
Right.
but also those who aren't just like us,
Right.
who are different from us.
Right.
And I think that, you know, as you get deeper into that serve first mentality, it's a lot about mindset and your internal attitude
Mm-hmm.
of how you look at things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not just a, oh, I'm supposed to do this nice thing for somebody. It goes deeper than that.
Sure.
You know, it really goes to how we look at our fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I think that's a little bit about a little bit of what you're talking about is, you know, not being so quick to judge or have our own, you know, definition of acceptability.
Right, right.
And just perform against that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Using wisdom, let me throw that in there. So I'm, you know, we're not advocating that you put yourself in harm's way in any way, but there is a mindset change to that serve
Mm-hmm.
first behavior.
Right.
So let's get real practical for a minute. Can you think of some things that you did in the department to work at building relationship and instilling those behaviors in your team?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think, you know, trust is an earned element.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you can command someone to trust you. You can try.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen necessarily. And so when at the beginning when we were forming this this journey that we were on, for me to spend the time and actually taking the time to know and showing interest in every team member that I had, getting to know what their interests are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do they like to play tennis? Do they like to play golf?
Yeah.
What drives them? It was very important. It was, I think, to me, I saw more returns from having lunch with them than sitting in meetings with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to say I probably have one of the best teams that the company has had. I, you know, just looking at the members that I've had in the past, the only time that we've really changed our makeup was because of the downturn in business.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a performance issue. It was the relationships were built in there. And even when we had to, they understood. They
yeah.
understood the reason why not, you know, why them and why not the other person, because it came down to having to choose what the company needed
right.
at that time.
Right. Yes, it's very, very, it's the worst outcome, and also people
mm-hmm.
really shine
mm-hmm.
during that time, both, because you have built that strong relationship,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately, you may also have to make the decision that they need to go on to some other opportunity.
Right.
And that's, of course, the tough day-to-day
right.
stuff for a mid-level
mm-hmm.
manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I can totally relate to that. So what servant leadership behavior is really the most difficult for you, do you think?
Thinking about your thinking. I think to me is one of those things I love. I'm hands-on. I love to do things and make progress. But from the time I step into the office, or even before then, most of the time I'm already anticipating what I have to face for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it be just putting out little fires or, you know, a project that we're anticipating, my role, we can never predict the day to go as smoothly as planned.
Right.
So at the end of the day, investing in learning and investing in your own thinking, what did I learn from that day? I'm exhausted by the end, by the time the day
yeah,
is over.
Yeah.
So I think that's the most challenging part for me.
Yeah. So for you, if I can just paraphrase, it really is having the time for reflection
mm-hmm.
and letting that reflection guide perhaps your plan for the next day or
mm-hmm.
your plan going forward. For me, part of that thinking about your thinking has to do with useful thoughts versus non-useful thoughts. And, you know, because some of us go to the negative side, mm-hmm. just naturally, it's part of our makeup.
Sure.
Rather than being going to the cup half full
right.
side. And so I know for me, that's been, was really a revelation in studying that behavior of determining, okay, I'm thinking a certain way, you know, this happened, and now it's going to lead to some other bad circumstance or some other bad uh-huh. circumstance. Uh-huh. And really stopping myself and saying, wait a minute, is it really doing me any good to think this way?
Right, right.
And then when you start breaking it down like that, you realize mm-hmm. that you are going down a mm-hmm. negative road that you don't need to go down.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of depth to thinking about your thinking.
Yeah.
And I know for Art, when he talks about this, the self-reflection part of it mm-hmm. is something that's really high on his list. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Servant leaders have got to take that time for right. themselves to think about what, really think about what they're doing.
Right.
And really have a plan for, as you mentioned, to build those relationships with the people that they're responsible for.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so it really is a key. So you're living this servant leader life at work.
Mm-hmm.
And you've shared with us that it really is a part of who you are. Let's talk a little bit about how it's affected your personal life.
Well, you know, once again, my family obviously knows me well, and I use this daily with them. There are days that I'm less successful in executing servant leadership, especially when I come home and my wife's had it, and she's passing on the parenting baton, and you know, deal with your kids kind of thing. You know, my wife and I also do take that time to reflect upon behaviors that we demonstrate, because repeating that servant-like behaviors in my own household with my girls and having them perpetuate that over time, mm. it becomes more natural. So I think that changes the heart in the long run. So that to me is an investment in my own family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And building that foundation for mm-hmm. them.
Right? Absolutely.
Do you get so specific that you actually use this verbiage, or is it more the essence?
The essence, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know for the age that my children, my girls are at, that necessarily using the words that we use here, but they are smart enough to catch the essence of it,
mm-hmm.
And so I encourage that. We do a lot of reflection at the end of the day.
Mm.
We call it devotional time mm-hmm. at bedtime, and we reflect upon, you know, what is it that you've learned today, and what are the behaviors that, you know, you've influenced your friends and your neighbors?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, I see those, I think in some sense, they're also thinking about what they've done throughout their day and yeah. allows them to be able to yeah. tell me.
Yeah, they'd pretty much have to if you're mm-hmm. having that kind of a conversation, mm-hmm. I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably makes it a little easier for them to talk to mom and dad when you go through that.
It does keep the conversation and the channels open.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they don't want to talk to dad because they are in trouble. But
no, your girls, no way.
For the most part, they would, you know, I think that they would be willing to talk about it after the fact even. So I've found that to be very beneficial.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And how about, let's spread the sphere mm-hmm. a little larger mm-hmm. in the neighborhood.
Right.
Because I know you have a pretty active, or from what you've described to me, it's a pretty active neighborhood.
It is. It's actually interesting that, you know, Carol, you're saying that you know, if we were to spread that net a little bit wider, we've built relationships with our neighbors, and we've actually talked about I shared with them where I come from, where I work, and the lessons that I learn over here. So it does. They know where I stand. To the point now that even some of my neighbors have the garage key code because they come and borrow tools and borrow our dogs, and we have that relationship that we've built with them.
I have to get somebody to borrow my dogs.
Yes. Yes. So, I think to me, the neighbors is just one part of life where if you build those relationships around you, at work, at home, and around you, just makes it more pleasant to deal with.
Yeah. And how about with you personally, yourself? Mm-hmm.
Servant leadership was instrumental for me personally in that the language and the concept actually put some words in there that I can relate and bridge my spiritual personal life with the behaviors that I have, and how can I apply those in practical ways. As I've said before, I've been around a lot of people who have demonstrated that and lived their lives in giving to others. But using the language puts it in these compartments where I can look at that and say, hey, this is one way we can do it. And it allows me to be able to be more, I guess, practical in the way that I apply it in life.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think just in listening to you, I can tell that there's been a lot of growth over the years and a lot of, sort of piecing things together. Mm-hmm. And have them make more sense to you. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with being congruent, right? Being the same person all the time. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice, though, for those folks who might want to bring servant leadership into their organization, their department, into their life, for that matter?
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. I think, to me, one of the most important things is be upfront. Be upfront with your folks what you're doing.
Mm. Put your cards on the table.
Absolutely. people like predictability.
Yeah.
And if you're going to say something, follow through with your actions. Be intentional that you're going to be making these changes. Be transparent. If you make a mistake, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. We are all going to make mistakes in this journey. And the way that you speak to somebody, you may have to turn around and say, I'm sorry. And that's okay, too. Mm-hmm. I think the other pieces that I'm thinking about that comes to my mind in here is be open. Be open to asking for help. Mm-hmm. Because I certainly didn't know everything. I still don't know everything.
Right.
And I'm okay with learning that. And and asking for help. I think many of us have a hard time doing that,
right?
Because it's a sign of weakness, if you will, especially in our society today.
Right.
And asking for that help, even to those who were supposed to be the head of the department, yet we ask our folks to help us through this growth process. I think that it sets a good example that you are a human being.
Right. I think it's key that point you made, because if you talk about making this kind of shift in behavior and thinking, people are going to be looking at you. Mm-hmm. Well, they're looking at you all the time anyway, but they're really going to look to say, oh, he said he wanted to do servant leadership, but look what he just did.
Right.
And so by you being open and transparent, that combats that, right? That puts that to rest, and people say, oh, this really is a human being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just critical, Benny. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yeah. I think one of the lessons that I learned through this process was, as a technical person, I wanted to know everything.
Yeah.
I wanted to be able to handle and manage everything. And at some point, there's only so much capacity that you can do. And I've learned to let some of those go. And in fact, I love to see my team members thrive. They know more than I do, technically.
Mm-hmm.
They know more than I do. But there's that relationship that you know, he can come to me and say, hey, where do you think the company is going? I know my role has changed. I'm not the technical go-to guy, but I trust the person that I work with, that they know the ins and outs, which I used to know better than he did.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the rewarding element of being in this position. Yes, I look at that and I said, you know what? Anything ever happens to me, the company carries on, and they're better for it.
That's really key, and it's actually a great place for us to close today's episode, Benny, with, you know, you have the heart of a servant, and with that heart, you've really passed that on to your team, and the whole point is to allow them to shine, for them to get bigger and us to get smaller. So I thank you for your support that you provide every single day and for what you're doing to grow your team and to be a great servant leader. So thanks so much for coming sharing your time with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we encourage you to connect with us. Go to our website to learn more about our training services and our events. You'll find us at www.servantleadershipinstitute.com. We invite you to join us for the Music of Servant Leadership, our Servant Leadership Conference for 2017 on March 13th and 14th. Our location this year will be the beautiful Marriott Marquis San Diego Marina. Registration is now open and early bird pricing is in effect. To register and get more information about the event or the Servant Leadership Institute, see our website or email us at info@servantleadershipinstitute.com. Thanks for listening and allowing us to add value to your day.